And good morning. Good morning to everyone here. God bless you. This is Bernard Johnson, and I want to thank you all for coming to be with us on the First Fruits Worldwide Prayer and Praise Convention Line. This is a wonderful, wonderful day to give God praise and to give him adoration and to give him thanks. Oh, my God. We do love him, and we do thank him for all that he's done, and we appreciate you being with us this morning. People coming from all over the world, all over the world, to come together and to no longer stand for what the enemy has tried to do, and that is to divide God's people. People coming together. Amen. They want to come together to pray, and they want to come together to praise the Lord. I want to just remind you that on September 7th, I'm inviting you to Kansas City, that we may come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to pray and praise the Lord. This is a good time to pray right now. Please, here's my hand. Join my hand. Let's pray together today in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you because you are real. You never sleep nor slumber. You are always attentive to our faintest cry. You bless us and you help us and you answer us, and we are your children. Thank you for allowing us to be your children. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that hovers over us to destroy every yoke that the enemy tries to put out. Yeah, he tries to put this on us and put that on us. But God, the anointing is there to destroy every yoke. Thank you, Lord, because Peter was there, and Jesus told him that the enemy wishes to destroy him and sift him as wheat. And Jesus, you prayed for him. I'm asking you to remember your people. Remember us, Lord, and pray for us. You're sitting at the right hand of the Father. Please pray for us that he may know that we seek to do your will and seek to serve you. Thank you for what you've done, for what you're doing right now, and for what you will do in the future. We surrender our will to yours. We ask for forgiveness for every sin.
Thank you.
Especially for the sin of omission and commission. God, you taught me even this morning with a heavy message to me, Lord, about how you really need people to obey you, because that's why you haven't sent your son Jesus to come back.
Thank you.
Because you got a nation of people who are rebellious, who won't do your will. And that's as a sin of witchcraft. And the enemy is trying to control the minds of the people everywhere. And God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you do have a remnant who wants to obey you and do your will. Thank you for what you've done. Now, Lord, bless your people. Lift the heavy burdens and lighten the heavy load. I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless your people, that you help them, Lord, in every aspect. Some have their back against the wall. God, only you can do that. Get it out. Yeah, fix things that need to be fixed. Heal those who need to be healed. Make a way for those who need ways made. In the name of Jesus, I pray. All these things I'm asking in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you bless the people on this line, those who are participants. Bless them in Jesus' name. Those who will stand up for you, Lord, and let the world know that you are a blesser, that you are a person who keeps your word, and that you are committed. Oh, God, bless them in Jesus' name. And Lord, make ways out of no ways, I pray. Bless those who are incarcerated and those who need to be released, release them. Bless your people in churches across the world. Oh, God, let your church come together in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blog line when we seek to give you over 2 billion praises a night. Bless it, Lord, and help us to do so. Now, supply all of our needs, and we'll give you the glory
praise and all the adoration that belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And for the glory of God, take over the prayer line, Holy Ghost. We surrender it to you and say yes in your will and have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. Good morning to all of you on the prayer line.
Good morning.
Let's speak to the Lord. Let's speak to the Lord. Good morning, Lord. I know you're in the room.
Good morning, Lord.
And do you have a praise for him? I mean, I know nine out of ten people in early in the morning like this can't praise the Lord because they haven't even opened their mouths. Amen. But do you have one? I want to know, do you have one? If you do, let me hear it right now. Praise check in the name of Jesus. Praise check. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Open your mouth and give him praise.
Thank you.
You ought to have it open. Giving him praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and adoration. We love you. Glory and praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, and we give him glory, and we praise him and thank him for everything in Jesus' name. Thank God, amen. I been up early this morning. I wanted to fulfill, I had a scripture that the Lord put on my heart, and then he reminded me that I had promised you all that I would try to speak about put a ring, how to get a ring on your finger. And I'm keeping on that. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be still if you're making noise by the phone. Amen. You hear me. And you know to just push star six. That will eliminate that. We've given that instructions. Those instructions many times. All right. Let me see. I went off and left the message this morning, but I'm going to try to do this off the cuff, off the top here. And see if we can help you. I want to bring this message this morning in just a moment, how to put get a ring on your finger and keep it on there. But I want to just, if y'all want to give me a chance to get my thoughts together here, give me a couple of praise reports. Amen. A couple of praise reports. Amen. Can you do a praise report?
Yeah. Oh, good morning, every one of you. Good morning.
Good morning.
God is in the blessing business. He's still blessing. This is Mother Johnson from Kansas City. I'm still alive. God is in the blessing business. I praise and honor the Lord for Jesus and for his cleanliness in my soul right now. I just love the Lord and love all of you. I know it's the Lord that's keeping me here. Could nobody keep me here if it wasn't for the Lord. It wasn't his will. So I said, thank God for whatever. Whatever we're going through, let us praise God. I just honor the Lord for Jesus because he's so real in my soul. He keeps me and takes good care of me. And I thank God for it. I'm saved this morning. I'm sanctified. I'm filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Had a good night's rest last night. The Lord is still in the blessing business. Saying, pray for Mother Johnson. That God get the glory out of my life. God bless you.
Wasn't that beautiful? My. Mother Johnson, 95 years old. And she's holding on. Amen. Yeah, somebody else. Maybe that inspired you to know that she can tell it, you can tell it too. All right, open the line for somebody else to give a praise report. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, this is Sister Cobb in Texas again.
Oh, bless the Lord. Thank God for you, Sister Cobb. Thank God for you.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Anyway, after I went to the bank on yesterday, after I had said my praise report on yesterday about the blessing the Lord gave me, I had did my little mission work, and I was just turning the corner to place a phone call. And I put the car in park, and when I got ready when I pulled the shift back, it just went all the way back. And I couldn't, it stuck in neutral. And I said, oh, Lord, what is this? You know, because I've always heard when you're saying a praise report or what the Lord has done for you, the enemy is listening too. I said, this is nothing but the enemy. And so the car started rolling. And it just came to me. And I did not say something came to me. The Lord gave me to pull on the emergency brake. So in the meantime, a son called me and he said, what's going on? And I said, my car's giving me trouble. I had already had another problem. He said, I'm finna call my dad. Now, that's my first ex-husband that I told you that I was with the property to when we got divorced. And in the meantime, his dad called me. And I told him what the problem was. He said, I'm on my way. And do you know, that man came, my first husband, he came and he stayed with me. And thank the Lord, I was not in the heat. The air conditioner was still working because it was 105 degrees out. And he transferred everything into the vehicle. He called the mechanic to come check it out, all that type of thing. Now, I'm without a vehicle now. But I just thank the Lord, I could have been on the road going to Abilene to see my husband. But I was right here in San Angelo, and the Lord sent the angels to help me. I don't have a vehicle right now, but I'm not worried, because if that won't work, God got something for me. So y'all continue to pray for me. And I love this prayer line, Mother Johnson. All the people on prayer line, y'all continue to pray for me, because God is still good. He's still good in spite of everything. He's good. Thank the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, that's the way to do it. All right. My God, my God. Oh, you make me want to shout, Sister Cobb. And you're spoiling me. You're spoiling me. I hear from you every day. You'll make me want to hear that praise report today. All right. Give me one more praise report.
This is Sister Linda from Salt Lake City. I just want to thank the Lord, too, because the other day I was on my way to church, and I was leaving my house, and I had to turn the corner, and I heard a pop on my car. And I said, Lord, what is this? I'm like Sister Cobb, you know. And I drove it down slow, and where I could get out. And look, and my tie had went down, and so it was a frostbite right, not too far from my house. So I got it to the frostbite, and the man said, "Oh Lord, look at your tie." He said, "We don't know if it's blowed out or what," but he said he would look at it, and. He said, I hope you didn't ruin your rims. And I said, I hope not either. So he said that, so when they checked it, the tie had blown. So he said that the rod had broke on the other side of something, but he said that they couldn't fix it, but he told me where I could go, but he asked me, did I have a spare tire? And so happened, I said, yeah, I have a spare tire in the back, and I had the regular tie. So he said, ooh, thank God that you got a regular tie, you know, because he said a lot of times they just have those little ties to put on there. He said, but I had the right tie. So they put that tie on there, and he said I could drive it for a while till I can get it fixed. I asked him, I said, well, if I drive it, will the rims go bad? He said, no, because you got the right tie. And I just thank God for it.
That's God. It. You're on the right track. Yeah, recognize the goodness of Jesus.
Yes.
Recognize that the Lord has done for you, and he'll bless you. All right, thank you so much. I'm going to try my best to deal with this a little bit. This is a kind of a deep subject, and what the Lord gave me is deep, but it's I'm saying this because the Lord gave it to me. It's profound, but at the same time, I want to try to make it simple that we all can understand it well. Some things God gives are so deep, but he gives simplicity in the midst of his deepness. It's his deepness. That we get these things and we try to simplify them. Because he simplifies them for us. Let me read a couple of scriptures here that all of us are familiar with. Proverbs 18 and 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. Of the Lord. Let me read that again. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I want to just base this subject here this morning from that scripture, and maybe I'll read a couple more. And I want to ask you if you would kind of be still around the phone, all that's amplified 10 times over. And if you would, put your phone on mute. *6, because I don't need you to say anything right now, if you wouldn't, *6. I want to talk about how to put a ring or how to get a ring on your finger, and I added this portion, how to keep it there. Amen. This came while I was in the hospital visiting one of my members who was sick, had an operation or some procedure, and while I was talking to her, you know, just trying to cheer her up in the Holy Ghost. This subject came up out of from the Holy Ghost, how to get a ring on your finger and how to keep it there. And at that time, while I was talking to her about this, and I'm just telling you how this came about and why it's so important to me, she went into cold blue or rapid response, they call it now, because Negroes know what cold blue means now, so they got another terminology called rapid response. But the whole room filled up with doctors and nurses, and we started praying, knowing that she had gone into cardiac arrest. God saved her life that day. But the main thing I want to say to you from that, this message came, how to get a ring on your finger and how to keep it on there. This message is about commitment, how to get a ring on your finger and keep it on there. What does a ring mean? It means commitment. It's so important to know that God himself is committed, first of all, to us. Yeah, he's so committed until nothing can shake him. Nothing can shake him. He's always committed to us. Even when we messed up on him so much there in the wilderness, and we had prayed and asked God to deliver us, the children of Israel there in the wilderness, and he did deliver us through Moses. And we got out of Egypt and went in the wilderness. We were supposed to be out there praying, but we were out there complaining. And Moses went up on the mountain to get to speak with God, you might say, yeah? God gave him the Ten Commandments that he wrote with his own finger. And while he was going through that, and God was blessing, giving Ten Commandments, his people that he was committed to, that he had put a ring on their finger and called them his people. Yeah. He married them later on. Actually, I guess he had married them by then. They were his people, his bride, his wife, and his wife, who he had given so many gifts to. When they left Egypt, he made the Egyptians, which were the richest people on the face of the earth, he made them give his bride all of their wealth. So they left there, not millionaires, but billionaires. They were billionaires. And they left Egypt, and while he was talking to his servant Moses, trying to help them, give them Ten Commandments, they melted all the gold that he had given them in Egypt, from Egypt, melted it down and made a golden calf, and was down there worshiping the golden calf. That was called spiritual adultery. And that's why, you see, when I talk about, you turn your back, and as soon as you turn your back, you know, people believe that you believe in are up doing something else. Yeah. God had been there for them, been there, done everything for them. As soon as he turned their back, they were up there flirting with another god. They had made somebody, a calf, melted down, and up there talking about, oh, whatever they call him, Baal. You would call him Baal, Baal. Oh, you are worthy. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. I worship you. I pledge my allegiance to you. And God set Moses down and caught him in the act of doing that spiritual adultery. He couldn't take it. He threw the Ten Commandments down and broke them, and asked him, all of you who are on the Lord, who is on the Lord's side, come over here. Those who didn't come over, they perished. See, but I'm trying to show you that through all of that, God was committed. He was going to kill them. He was going to kill them all. Moses had to convince him, according to Exodus. He told him, Lord, you can't kill them because you put a ring on their finger. And you were committed. You committed yourself to them. And he said, if you don't save them, if you kill them like they are now, then that your enemies are going to say that you could not deliver your own people. And God repented. What does that mean? That means that God changed his mind and said, I am committed. I put a ring on their finger. I can't destroy them, but I must stand with them and see them through the storms and through the night. And so he's been doing that ever since because he's committed. That's why you get that scripture, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, because he is. He's like that. And when you find a man who is steadfast, unmovable, count that as a wonderful, 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 wonderful blessing. Because that's the trait of God himself. No matter what happened, no matter what they did to you. I know you had a terrible argument on yesterday. I know you went through this gyration and that, and you said, how can I, oh my God, this man drives me crazy, or this woman drives me crazy. But that's a wonderful attribute, and when you find that, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When you find that, be ye steadfast, that's a wonderful attribute. In other words, he has commitment. He put a ring on your finger, and he's committed to stay. Don't count that as a small blessing. That's an ultra awesome, phenomenal blessing, because you got to look at it. Look at it. Go to Hollywood. These folks are getting married one day, putting a ring on their finger. By the evening, they want to have it annulled. The next day, or the next, by the end of the week, for sure, they're divorced. So, I mean, count that as an ultra awesome, phenomenal blessing that somebody is steadfast, unmovable, willing to stay. With all your gyrations, with all your antics that you have, and they stay, you better, don't, that's a keeper. Amen. When you find somebody with the attribute of God like that, that's a multitudinous blessing. Now, let me deal with this 18:22 Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Now, a wife is a phenomenal blessing. But you see, people nowadays have gone to the B portion of that one scripture right there. They find a good thing. See, most folk ain't looking for a wife. They looking for a good thing. They looking for a good thing. They leave that portion off. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But they looking for the good thing. And see, that's why you got men, you ask them, when you want to get married? I used to ask them years ago, I used to do that, and they would say, well, you know, 21, 22, 23. These men nowadays, when you ask them when you want to get married, either the answer is around 35, 40, or never, you know. Why? Why? Ask me why. Why? They're looking for a good thing. You see what I'm talking about? They're looking for something that's a good thing, not a wife, no commitment. That's why I started out talking about God as a God who is a God of commitment. And they just want a situation, you know, where they can do this and do that, no commitment, no nothing. But I'm not talking about a relationship where there's a commitment, there's a struggle toward what God wants you to do, et cetera. But they're looking for a good thing. That's why America is passing all these laws, because the devil is trying to maneuver our nation into finding just good things. You know, man wants another man. It's a good thing. And I'm going to show you how that is a sin, and it's just a good thing. It's not really a marriage, because it doesn't meet God's ordinances. A woman marrying another woman, just a good thing, you know. Because they can't fulfill what God said to them in the first place. So man is just looking for a good thing nowadays. You know, one night stands, and they you know, the morals of the nation now are, you know, if you find somebody who you like, they got all these dating things on TV where they will help you find a husband and everything else. Help you find, they don't say a husband, but it helps you find somebody who's on your same level, on your same trend that you like, what you like, they like, et cetera. But, you know, people are just looking for a good thing, you know. They're going through these agencies looking for a good thing, you know. So, but the Bible says whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing. And that's where you obtain the favor. That's where the favor comes. In other words, God smiles on you. And you, that means that you don't have problems, but it means that whenever you have a problem, you have favor of God. He will see you through your hard times. He will deliver you. He will help you. And you will be a blessing. Okay, whosoever findeth a wife, not the good thing, findeth a good thing. All right, now, you want to know how to get a ring on your finger and keep it. In our own image, in the image of Jesus, in the image of God, in the image of the Holy Ghost. They were created. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that everything has already been created. When the devil came on the scene, it was already created. So that means that the devil can't create nothing. So what are you trying to get to? I'm trying to show you the depth in this scripture, the heaviness in this scripture is trying to tell you that can nothing ever be created anymore, because it was already created. So what does that mean? That means that the only way the enemy can do anything now is alter, A-L-T-E-R, alter everything. He tries to alter everything. Man, you don't want no woman. God said in his own image, you know, he created them to, a man to want a woman. But the devil has to alter it in order for to glorify him. See, in its native state, how God created it, it worships God. It worships God. But so he alters. When it's altered, it worships the devil. See, I hope you get that. it worships the devil. And anything that was created in God's own image worships God. Anything that was created, ain't nothing else created in any other image except God's own image. He created man and woman and everything in his own image. And so it worships him. But the devil's trying to alter everything. You don't, talking to a woman, you don't want no man, you want another woman. See, he's trying to alter their minds, alter everything. And so my point to you on how to get a ring on his finger, you've got to understand the nature of a man. The real nature of a man is to be like God. He hurts like God hurts. He thinks like God thought, or thinks rather. He was made in God's own image. So when you find a man who's trying to be godly, righteous, then he's thinking like God thinks. So what is God like? That's the key. Find out what God likes. And if you find out what God likes and how God responds, then you got him. Because if he's trying to do right, then you got him. He was created in God's own image. So in order to get a ring on your finger, then understand how God likes things. All the things come from God. Every good thing comes from God. So you have to understand what God likes. You know, God, well, first of all, didn't find out what the Bible says. God doesn't like a haughty spirit. And over there in Proverbs, it talks about the six things that God hates. And the first thing that he hates is pride. The first thing on the list is pride. That means since a man is on, and God's on image, the first thing he's going to hate is pride in his native state. He's going to hate pride. He don't want a prideful woman. He don't want a woman who's so haughty. He doesn't want a woman who's so you know, thinks she's so high and mighty. That turns against his nature, because he was created how? In God's own image. Oh, my God, I'm about out of time. I have to do part A and part B, maybe hit this on Monday again. But I hope you see that that's a deep thing there. But man was created in God's own image. His native state is to think like God, do like God, act like God. And Satan's trying to alter everything about a man because he worships God. But in his own natural state, he really acts like God, thinks like God. He is a small G-O-D. And so you got to figure out what God likes. God hates pride. So a man hates a woman who tried to act like she's so all that. So that he doesn't want that. That's against his nature. Yeah. Then a woman who is so high strung. See, that's against that. That's a kinship to arrogance. So a man doesn't gravitate to that. He doesn't gravitate to a high, strong woman. He doesn't gravitate to a woman who is so independent that she doesn't need him. He was created in God's own image. God wants people who needs him. When you're going through, he wants to know that you need him. Lord, I need you. I need you. Then he'll come to your rescue. But see, a man wants a woman who needs him. How does he need a woman who thinks that she's all that and a bag of chips and she doesn't need him? He doesn't want that. I mean, he wants a woman who really feels like she needs him. Amen. And then I don't have time to get in, but this is the point where I get off into really how to get that ring on your finger. It's wrapped up in that text right there. Man was created in God's own image. I guess that's a good place to stop, because I do want to get a little prayer for y'all today. And I'll hit this again on Monday and maybe Tuesday or next week. How to get a ring on your finger. Read that Genesis 1:26 and 27. You begin to understand how man is. Think about God. You know, all these things come from God. Even when you feel pain, where you think you get the feeling of pain from, it comes from God. How you feel? Who's ever been hurt the most in his life? You think you've been hurt? You think your heart been bruised? You think you're going through struggle? Who's been hurt the most? What do you think God felt when they took his son and humiliated him in court, dragging him from courthouse to courthouse, and then lied on him and found him guilty of something he wasn't even guilty of and then condemned him to death? You think he didn't feel pain and then marched up a hill with the cross on his back? And here he is coming all the way from heaven up there with his Father, and now he's being marched up a hill with the cross on his back. They get him up there and lay him down on the cross and take big old spikes and nail him to his hands and feet. You think God couldn't feel that pain? You got a child? They had done that to your child. What would you feel? And you witness it all? Thank God he still got his mind. Amen. And, yeah, so pain comes from him. He felt more pain than anybody on this earth could ever think to feel. Yeah. So all these things come from God. So being rejected, where do you think you get that from? It comes from God. He was rejected. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. He was rejected of men. Where do you think you get the feeling from? You get it from God. God knows how you feel already. Yeah. When you've been wounded, you get it from God. Yeah. He knows how you feel when you're wounded. And some of the most terrible hurt ever in life is church hurt. Where do you think you get, where do you think you get it from? From God. Yeah. His church, his bride, the children of Israel, you think they didn't hurt him? You didn't think he wasn't hurt when he looked down and saw him worshiping another God? I mean, you know, what you think you get all that? God knows all about it. He knows all about your wounds, your hurt, your church hurt, your every kind of hurt. He knows all about it before you get there. That's why he will come to help you, because he knows you need help. That's why he sent the helper. What is the Holy Ghost? In John 14:26, the Holy Ghost, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, yeah, it comes to help you. Yeah. All right, I'm out of time today. I want to get through prayer, but I'll try to deal with this. How to get a ring on your finger? I'll be talking about this, I guess, a few days, Monday, maybe Tuesday. How to get a ring on your finger. Get your daughter on here. Get your son on here. And then I want to talk about commitment. I want to talk about understanding each other. See, this deals with a lot of things, you know, trusting each other, all that kind of stuff. But get them on the line Monday and Tuesday. I'll talk about this. And maybe, I don't know if Wednesday, but Monday and Tuesday, there's a lot to it. This is just coming off the top here today. And I just want you to know how to get a ring on your finger, how to get a commitment and keep that commitment. Amen. How to get a ring.